So we'd like to welcome all of you to our temple. Today's sharing and caring will be, we need a reference point. So we're taking some reference point from the Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, text 1. The title of this chapter is The Divisions of Faith. So I'm just going to read through the main text, and then we'll do the English translation together. I don't know, are there some people who are having Bhagavad Gita with them here? Are there some people with Bhagavad Gita here? Oh, can you make a show by raising up your hand if you have Bhagavad Gita with you? Bhagavad Gita. I'm with Bhagavad Gita. Raise up your hand. It shows how we are very much detached. We don't want to be bothered with anything, you know, when we're going out. So we don't carry the Bhagavad Gita. But essentially, it's good to carry Bhagavad Gita, you know. When you're going out. I don't know whether it's... In most temples I go to, this is my recommendation. That devotees don't only have one Bhagavad Gita at home. They should have one Bhagavad Gita in the office also. And one Bhagavad Gita in your car. Three Bhagavad Gitas you should have. One in the office, one at home, one in the car. It's not a question of when you're leaving home, say you put the Bhagavad Gita from the office in the home. It's good, but then the home is empty because the Bhagavad Gita is not different from Lord Krishna. This is the literary incarnation of Lord Krishna. And if you want protection, then you should be with Krishna, isn't it? So you should carry the Bhagavad Gita. You should carry the Bhagavad Gita wherever you're going. The Bhagavad Gita should be with you in the car. And essentially, we are operating in an arena where there is, or there could be danger at any time. So better to be self-protective. If we have to be self-organized, then we need to be self-protective. And the Bhagavad Gita is a sure means of actually protecting even our devotional integrity. It's just like, we'll give some story concerning this chapter, because each and every chapter of the Bhagavad Gita has a food for thought. In the Padma Purana, technically called Gita Mahatmya. And so, if you understand the importance of the Bhagavad Gita just by being with the Bhagavad Gita, or by having the Bhagavad Gita at home, or having the Bhagavad Gita in the car, I bet you, everybody would like to have a Bhagavad Gita in his car, in his office, and at home. Because it's essential. Except we don't make devotional culture our top priority. If we want to go back to Krishna, then we have to learn now to be associating with Krishna in all circumstances. It's not just according to Dissa Kalapatra only, but in all circumstances. We may say, oh, well, that is meant for the renunciants. And who is not a renunciant in this world? Everybody is a renunciant. A renunciation is like the constant northern star. It's like the rock of Gibraltar. It's unshakable. It's just, in other words, it is a constant. The variable is the object of our renunciation. So here we are, we are very detached. We can't even carry a Bhagavad Gita. We are renounced. So, chapter 17, text 1. Arjuna huvacha yasastra vidhim osija yajante sadayam vitaha. Tesham nista tuka Krishna satramaho rajastamaha. So translation. Arjuna inquired, "O Krishna, what is the situation of those who do not follow the principles of scripture, but worship according to their own imagination? Are they in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance?" So this is dealing with worship. Again, worship is a constant. We'll go into that. Everybody's doing some worship. Some puja is going on everywhere in this world. Knowingly or unknowingly, we are performing some puja. Some worship has to go on. Because that is our inherent nature. We have to worship something. We have to worship someone. Please respond to repeat. Arjuna inquired. "O Krishna,
what
is the situation
of those who do not follow
the principles of scripture, but worship according to
their own imagination?
Are they in goodness,
in passion,
or in ignorance?" So let's listen to what Prabhupada has to say about this very verse, because a lot of commentaries are there on Bhagavad Gita, but this Bhagavad Gita commentary by Srila Prabhupada is called Bhagavad Gita as it is. And what Krishna says, or what Arjuna says, it is only the pure Vaishnavas who can understand and follow the thread of Arjuna's mind thought pattern, or follow the thread of Krishna's responses to Arjuna's inquiries in the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, it's essential for us to listen carefully what Prabhupada has to say. Here it is called purport. So Srila Prabhupada's purport, in the fourth chapter, 39th verse, it is said that a person faithful to a particular type of worship gradually becomes elevated to the stage of knowledge and attains the highest perfectional stage of peace and prosperity. In the 16th chapter, it is concluded that one who does not follow the principles laid down in the scriptures is called an asura, a demon, and one who follows the scriptural injunctions faithfully is called a deva or demigod. Now, if one with faith follows some rules which are not mentioned in the scriptural injunctions, what is his position? This doubt of Arjuna's is to be cleared by Krishna. And those who create some sort of god by selecting a human being and placing their faith in him, worshipping in goodness. Take that again. Are those who create some sort of god by selecting a human being and placing their faith in him, worshipping in goodness, passion, or ignorance? Do such persons attain the perfectional stage of life? Is it possible for them to be situated in real knowledge and elevate themselves to the highest perfectional stage? Do those who do not follow the rules and regulations of the scriptures, but who have faith in something and worship God and demigods and men, attain success in their effort? Arjuna is putting these questions to Krishna. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Saksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Se Chaitanya Manobhista Stapitam Yena Bhutale
Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Dadanti Swapadantikam Vandeham Si Gurun Si Tapadakavalam Si Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Si Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sam Sajivam Sadvaita Sarvadhuta Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakham Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshware Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyacha Kripa Sundubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukham karoti vachalam pandyum lagatim girijat kripa tamaham vande si gurum dinatari.
So you're very much welcome, and this verse which Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in summarizing the 17th chapter was in a reflective mode asserting that Arjuna was like saying, Krishna, you said this, you said that. In the 16th chapter, you have mentioned those who do not have faith in the scriptures, they will not attain perfection, they won't attain the supreme destination. They won't be happy. So, the point is, I am now putting this across to you, my dear Lord. This was Vishwanatha Chakravarti's following the thread of Arjuna's thought pattern. So, I am putting this across to you, my Lord. What happens? Those who choose to act according to their whimsy. What is their destination? What is the result? And so vividly here we find the very first line of this very verse here. The very first line here of this text, text 1. It says, yeah, yes, Sastra Vidim, Unsujya. This same line is similar to what we find in the 16th chapter, text 23, wherein Lord Krishna, in addressing Arjuna's inquiry, had said, Yaha, Sastra Vidim, Unsujya, Vatate, Kama Karata. So, Lord Krishna in that text 23 of the 16th chapter is saying that those who forsake the scriptural injunctions, those who give up sastra vidim usrijya, Sansavidi, the injunctions, like we have Vidi. Nobody likes to follow Vidi in the material world. Why? Because by our nature, we don't want to take instructions from anyone. Everybody wants to exercise his independence. Who likes to be instructed? Even Garuda hated to be instructed. Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, he hated it. When the Garuda's aunt came by and ordered Garuda's mother, "You take me. I want to go for a fun. Come on, take me somewhere." Then she ordered Garuda, "Take my boys, take my kids. We are going for fun. So take us." Garuda didn't like it. So he made some inquiries. "What is it? What must I do to extricate myself from my aunt's bondage and my cousin's bondage? Who likes to be bound by rules and regulations? Who likes to be ordered? Nobody." In fact, that is why sometimes we have divorces, because the partner comes to order here, order there, and then the other person didn't like it, and then he or she voices out and it becomes a trouble. We don't like nobody in the material world, conditioned soul, nobody likes rules and regulations. That is why there is police force. Very rare you find people who obey the traffic lights when they know there is no camera here. Isn't it? Even we, the devotees. So, but the point is, we like to forsake rules. We don't like to follow rules. That is the conditioned nature. That is the characteristics of a conditioned soul. Conditioned soul, in a nutshell, means a person who doesn't want to follow rules. A person who wants to follow his whimsy, the whims of his mind, the dictates of his mind, and the sensory modality. That's what he wants to follow. They say rules made by some other person? No. Why should I do that? So, the point is, because we're exercising this propensity in us, we have chosen to do whatever we have admiration for, whatever we are inclined to, we do it. Yes, we have independence to do whatever we like. We have independence to worship whomever we like. But we don't have independence to choose the results of our worship. The consequences or the results, the resultant effects, we don't have a choice. We have a choice to go against the red light. But if we choose to go against the red light, we don't have a choice for the repercussion. Is it clear? Therefore, the understanding of the Bhagavad Gita has to be that in the mode of pure goodness. In the mode of pure, because according to Lord Krishna, the mode of passion and ignorance, the results that accrues by dint of that worship, they are impermanent results. Take for instance the worship of the Pitas, worship of the Devatas, they are impermanent results. Well, one may make an argument that, what about the gopis? The gopis also, they worship Katyayani. So what would you say about that? In the Lalita Madhava of Rupa Goswami, there is this very profound declaration or an assertion that Katyayani Mahamaye Mahayogin Adishwari. Adishwari. Mahayogin Adishwari. Nanda Gopa Sutam Devi Pati Me Kurute Namaha. The Gopi is there praying to Katyayani. Dear goddess Katyayani, dear daughter. You are Mahamaya. You are Mahayogini. You are Adishwari. What we want from you, that boy, Nanda's son, Nanda Gopa, kindly arrange. We want him as a partner, a husband. So, this was the motivation of the worship of the Devata by the gopis. So we like to rationalize our deviation by quoting from the Shastra. It's just like someone is a Naga Baba. You know, Naga Babas in India, if you go to Kumbh Mela, you see these Naga Babas and they are nude. They are so detached. No coupons. Sometimes even our devotees in this country, we don't understand why the devotees, brahmacharis or sannyasis, they use coupons. Why? Is it a show of renunciation? No. So, these Naga Babas, those of you who have been to Kumbh Mela, you've seen these Naga Babas, they're so detached, they're so renounced, they live in the Himalayas, in the forest, no clothes on, they're nude. Remember, when Prabhupada came to this country in the 60s, there were also some there were also some neo Naga Babas. I think Prabhupada visited even one or two places. A community of Naga Babas. But incidentally, the neo Naga Babas, the men and the women, they live together. And that is not found in India. So, the point is that we have to understand what the scriptures are recommending for each and everybody and for each and every age. So suppose someone is a Naga Baba, he's so detached, and he has given up everything. But he smokes ganja. What is the use of this Naga Baba? Being a Naga Baba and you're smoking ganja. What is the value? Now you're supposed to be detached, and at the same time, there are two things, they are a little bit contradictory. You're supposed to be very detached, but at the same time, you are highly involved in sense gratification of the gross order. So the rationalization could be, I'm a Shivite, and Lord Shiva is smokes ganja. Yes, I agree with you. Lord Shiva smokes ganja, and Lord Shiva also drank ocean of poison. Why don't you also drink ocean of poison? Okay, don't drink ocean of poison. You take two drops. That we will not do. We want cheap things. So this cheap adoration, distinction, and profit is all pervasive. Not only Naga Babas. The cheating that goes on, even in academics, you see students cheating and all this other stuff just to get a paper, to get a job, and all those things. The same thing. We may be laughing at the Naga Babas, but right there are all the cheating that are going on, and it's not only amongst those so-called spiritualists. the cheating that goes on, very intense. Why? The problem is, now, even in academics, people, the university authorities, they're very much concerned about cheating among students. Not only students, even the educators, they're cheating because they're involved in plagiarism. Even the educators, they're cheating. The scientists, they're cheating. If you're performing an experiment, if you're not very careful, another person takes the whole of your stuff and goes to put his name and publishes it, and then he becomes the author. So we make point accusing fingers at the spiritualists that they are cheating. But the cheating is all pervasive. That is not to say that we are advocating the spiritualists to cheat. And we could also cheat ourselves by worshipping all different types of devotees without understanding the objective criterion of worship. Worship is a custom. Take for instance, if I spend 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours before the mirror trying to decorate myself, I am also doing puja to my body. I'm worshipping my body, isn't it? That is also another form of worship. Because worship literally means to adore. And if we are simply adoring our bodies, that becomes our object of worship. That becomes our deity. But these are not the type of worship that will take us away from this material world. So this 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there is a story in the Padma Purana about the benefits of just reciting 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Not even the whole Bhagavad Gita. Just one chapter. So, Lord Shiva and Parvati, they were in a dialogue, they were in a discussion. Lord Shiva has finished describing the glories of the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita to Parvati. And Lord Shiva started with the 17th chapter. Lord Shiva was mentioning how one king, Kadabahu, he had a son, and this prince had a servant called Dusashan. Dusashan is described in the Padma Purana as someone, a servant of his kind, who was very crafty, but exceptionally foolish. So, one day, Dusashan told his master, the prince, that, "I want to ride the elephant." No, prince in those days and kings in those days, they ride elephants. To feed elephant, you know, is very expensive. If you have, how much gas you use for your car every day? Or in a week?
$40
in a week. To feed an elephant in a week, it takes plenty of dollars, not only $40. So kings in those days, they ride elephants. And to be born a prince, that means that you've been very pious in your previous existence. So this prince, he was riding elephants. Nowadays, sometimes even to buy a bicycle for a small child becomes a difficult thing for us. But the prince was having an elephant. So his servant, Dusashan, said, Can I ride the elephant? So the prince said, "All right, go ahead, no problem. Whatever I have belongs to you. Why not?" So Dusashan jumped onto the elephant and started prodding it, and this elephant was moving. So he was enjoying it so much, but then he got to a particular point, and the citizens around there, they said, "Oh, Dusashan, you just get down from this elephant. Just get down. He didn't mind them. He was feeling that perhaps they are envious of him. And he prod the elephant harder. And so the elephant got angry and then went wild. So in the process of trying to control the elephant, Dusashan actually fell off. He fell down from the elephant and the elephant stomped on him. He died. Guess what could be his next bet? Can someone speculate? We don't allow speculation in our system, but I permit this. Can someone help speculate what could be his next bet? Elephant. So he took bet as an elephant at a place, Sambadvipa. And so, in the king's palace, fortunately for him, in the king's palace, so then, the king happened to be a friend of the king of Sambadvipa, happened to be a friend of King Kagabahu, and I donated this elephant to King Kagabahu, and Kagabahu again, in return, donated this elephant to a poet, and the poet pleased the elephant with lots of sweet poetry. And at some point in time, the poet sold this elephant for about 100 gold coins to the king of Malwa. Is there anybody from Malwa here? Okay. So, the elephant Dusarshan was at the palace of the king of Malwa. He was enjoying life like anything. He would eat plenty of food every day. You know how difficult it is to feed an elephant. We have one elephant in Mayapur, and if they tell you how many pounds of food he eats, you'll be amazed. But he does a lot of service. Each time devotees are going on Harinam, they're going around the Mayapur area. The elephant is always there, and devotees, they have to use him. They ride the elephant, and he does a lot of good service there. Service to Sisi Radha Madhava. So, one day, the servants of the king, they reported to the king of Malwa that the elephant has stopped eating and drinking. Apparently, it's about to die. So Malwa, the king of Malwa went there to see the elephant. And truly, yes, that was, elephant had acquired some terminal illness and was about to quit the body. But the king brought all sort of medication, brought first-class medical doctor to attend, first-class vet doctor to attend to the to this elephant. Are there some vet doctors here? I know there's doctors. I see a lot of doctors here, but I don't know whether there are some vet doctors here. But then, anyway, the king brought a vet doctor to take care of the elephant. So, then, to the surprise of the king, his servants and all his entourage were there to see to the well-being of the elephant. The elephant started speaking. Ah, my dear king, I know you are a very pious person. You take care of your citizens like anything. At this time, what is needed is not all this medication. No doctor can save me from death. What I will suggest to you is to get someone who will recite Bhagavad Gita chapter 17 to me. And that will be most benefiting because I will be able to attain my original rupa by that sacrifice. No, this is not Bhagavad Gita, it's a sacrifice. Now, Krishna mentions in the Gita that those who read the Bhagavad Gita worship him with their intelligence. So, when the elephant said that, I mean, what else could be done? So, the king immediately ordered for some priest, some powerful priest like Chaitanya Nitya, What is it? To recite 17th chapter of the Gita. And this priest, he will recite the 17th chapter very poetically, like the South Indians do. I think there's a lot of people from South India here. You know how this is done. So, by hearing this, keep in mind, 17th chapter, not the whole of Bhagavad Gita. When this priest finished reciting the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, this elephant attained a four-handed form, like a Vishnu Dutta. And instantly, there was a powerful airplane, not made with plastic and irons. It doesn't make noise. Some people, they love to travel by air. They like to fly. I've been flying the past 6 or 7 months, and it's giving me a lot of trouble, because now I prefer to go by train, because the train, American train, is very good, not Indian train. In America, I prefer to go by train, because the train has no noise. I don't perceive any noise. When you fly at high altitudes, you have this pinching thing in your ear. And I was complaining. And when I came, I was complaining to Murari Prabhu that I'm disturbed by this pinch in my ear. Each time I have to travel, sometimes some of the airplanes is worse than the others. And especially when you sit at the middle where you have the wings and the engine, oh my God. So I was complaining when I came on Friday. I think I was complaining to Murari, and he said, I was complaining to Murari and Mother Padma. And Mother Padma said, it's a normal thing. Everybody experiences that. I've complained to Murari. He says, it's a normal thing. So, but how we would become so much adjusted to so much of inconvenience, and we be accepted to be normal, and we just coast along with that. That again reminds me of what it takes to be conditioned. We experience so much of pain. And anybody who flies has seen that. Anyway, back to the point. The plane from the Vaikuntha Loka was there waiting for Dushyant in his 400 form. He boarded the plane, and the king said, "Hey, wait a minute. Please, we need some narration about what is going on. Tell us, who were you in your past life?" So Dushyant explained. "I was a servant to a prince. This happened, that happened. I became an elephant. And this is how I've been moving my elephant body from one place to the other. Ultimately, from a poet who I was relishing so much of his poetry, but then, you know, he sold me to you. And so, because I understand the importance of the Gita, the relevance of the Gita to liberation, that is why I requested you to arrange for some Brahmin who are to recite the Gita, so that 17th chapter of the Gita, so that I'll be able to attain my original Swarupa." King was very much pleased. And what did the king learn from that? He himself started reciting Dushyant in the airplane in his original form. It's gone back to Vaikuntha Loka. The king, right from that day, started reciting the Bhagavad Gita chapter 17. Padma Purana says the king also attained perfection by that, and attained Lord Krishna's lotus feet. This is not something that is hanging in the air. We may say that is just based on faith. If you put your hand in fire, will fire burn you if you believe it or not? Fire will burn you if you put your hand, if you put your fingers into fire. It's not a question of faith. Faith is a custom. Sometimes the scientists say, "We don't believe in that," but everyone is having faith. You have faith, and that's why you came to this temple today. You have faith, so you put your left leg forward to be able to step ahead. Otherwise, if you don't have faith, you may be afraid that you will sink into the ground if you step your foot down. In fact, even the scientists, they have faith. That is why they're having wives. If they don't have faith, how could they just pick someone who they never know about their background, perhaps? In some cases, they just meet in school and they got married. If they don't have faith, they wouldn't marry, because they would be thinking, this person could just carry a gun and kill me in the night. Because the faith is there. They have firm belief that I'm in a safe hand. That's faith. So we may think some people have faith and some people don't have faith, but according to Lord Krishna, this faith is a constant. It's a matter of the influence of the faith, or the external energy, or the most of nature, how they influence our faith. And Lord Krishna describes three types of faith. Faith in the mode of goodness, faith in the mode of passion, faith in the mode of ignorance. Faith in the mode of passion and ignorance, they give us results that are not permanent. And that is, they bring us back into this material world, either to suffer or, you know, to enjoy. But faith in purified goodness allows us to be able to access the higher dimensions of the spiritual world, higher dimensions of knowledge, higher dimensions of the horizon of a transcendental culture that is always there to be able to avail itself to us if we make just a little effort. So, 16th chapter, text 23 says, those who reject the Shastric injunctions, they will not be happy in their next life. They will also not be happy now, because if one is consciously committing offenses or worshipping according to his own whimsy, then basically the results also, they are not going to be very fulfilling. And therefore, we have to see how we are dovetailing our faith in transcendental consciousness so as to be able to align with the needs of the Supreme. And that will allow us to become very much effectively purified in our worship. Again, even in devotional service, there is devotion in the mode of passion, devotion in the mode of goodness, devotion in the mode of ignorance, etc. But again, what we require to be able to accelerate is that devotion in the mode of purified goodness. Don't question the Lord why we have not come to that level yet. It is with practice. Even little kids, they have to start with kindergarten. They are in an educational institution. With time, they will become PhDs. And therefore, we have to have that perfect understanding that we are in the right position. We've been rightly placed. And by the means of Prabhupada, when we tread on this path of devotion, then we will be able to realize the importance of not giving up the scriptures in pursuit of transcendental culture. Scriptures, we may not like the rules there, but they will allow us to become elevated to higher devotional strata. Hare Krishna.
Amen.
Are there some comments or some questions on this point? These are regular discourses about faith and worship. It's a very simple and common theme. But maybe there are some challenges, there are some comments, some questions. We are open, because this is an open society. Someone doesn't talk and then he just walks away. He needs to be challenged sometimes. So please, if you have some comments or some questions, you feel free. If you have some challenges, you feel free to put forward. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
If there is a choice to chant the Mahamantra and read chapter 17 of Bhagavad Gita, should we do both or should we do one?
Whatever you do is the same thing, because chanting Hare Krishna and reciting the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is the same, because the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is not different from Lord Krishna. Again, the point is, what is our focus when we are doing this? Suppose I'm chanting Hare Krishna and I'm just thinking about some other things. I'm just chanting with my lips, not with my heart. That will not give me the appropriate benefit. Therefore, it is essential for us to understand the limitations we have in these bodies. And that, I think, is one of the reasons why we are all here. Otherwise, every one of us could be in his home. I think majority of the people here, they have deities at home. So I could be at home and let's simply, you know, chant Hare Krishna before my deities. I don't really bother to come to temple, but this is the recommended process for this age. And the chanting of the Maha Mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the recommended process for this age. It's just like we are reading the scriptures. This is to bring to limelight that these scriptures we are reading is not just for form. There are major effects that take place when we listen to Krishna Katha. There are major effects, cleansing effects that take place. In the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned, Vidu Noti Suri Sata. This process of hearing about Lord Krishna is itself a punya. Punya Sravanam Ketanam. Vidu Noti Suri Sata. And so, we don't have a limit to increase our punya until we get to that platform of Krita Punya Punja. What? How do we know we'll get to that platform? When we are playing with Lord Krishna, we jump onto Krishna's soldier. Krishna takes us on the run. That is when we have attained that high mark. Otherwise, if we have not attained that level, we shouldn't stop accumulating the punya. So we do both. That'd be good. And if we don't have the time, then we should simply vibrate Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
Thank you very much for your nice question and nice comment. Alright, so thank you very much, and we hope that you have time again to come on Sunday next week if you can come every day. Hare Krishna.